Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his lovely name. And that's the reason why I love him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. There is a rest in every woe. There is a refuge from the foe. There is a peace this world can't know. It's in his name. There is a glow in darkest night, a dawn of hope, a guiding light. There is a help in helpless plight. It's in his name. It's in his name. His name is wonderful. Counselor, mighty God. His name is Jesus, and he's ever the same. There is a calm when fear assails. There is a power all nature hails. There is a love that never fails. It's in his name. It's in his name. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his lovely name. And that's the reason why I love him so. Oh, Jesus is the sweetest name I know.
Praise the Lord for Jesus and all that he is to us. And praise the Lord that he is a good example to us. Speaking of example, again, I mentioned my father. I'm thankful for my father and the blessing that he is to me and the example that he is on just being a good father, a good dad, a giving father, a giving dad, a loving father. And so grateful for it. Just want to take a moment. I don't know, nothing long. I'm not asking for minutes. I'm asking for seconds. But anybody just like to share a word of testimony and thanksgiving for the father that you had in your life? Now remember, none of us had perfect fathers. There's only one perfect father, and that's the Father in heaven. And so every father makes lots and lots and lots of mistakes. And us fathers who are here, we all know that we've made lots and lots and lots of mistakes. And so we're not acknowledging who's the perfect dads out there. We're just acknowledging something that we're thankful for with a father. And so I'm not going to give much time. I'm just, if you're wanting to say something, then I want to allow you to say it. If there's any delay, we've got some good truth to get to in the Word of God. But I want to ask anybody who'd just like to share just something that you're thankful for with a father in your life. Is there anybody? Yes, Carrie.
He was a congregation young man. He wasn't a perfect man. But for 53 of his years of his life, he didn't know Christ either. But I'm thankful that he did come to know Christ. And he lived the best he could with the knowledge he had. And again, he wasn't perfect. He taught me a lot of practical things in life.
That's right. And every dad that's out there, we can find something that we can be thankful for. And I mean that when I say that. I know that some of you would say that your dad was less than desirable in certain areas, and so am I. But there's something that we can be thankful for. Thank you, Carrie. Who else would have something to share? Trevor?
I'd say one thing that's characteristic of both dads in my life is just the simple practical faith that they live in their day-to-day lives and how just impactful that is.
Third John. We're not going to stay in 3 John, but I want this verse to be a springboard for what we're going to get into for the rest of our time. Excuse me, 3 John and verse 4. There's only one chapter in 3 John, but we're going to go to the fourth ways. A verse that I can relate with John. Now, John is probably speaking of his children in the faith. But regardless of children in the faith or children in the flesh, I think the principle is the same. What was John's desire? You know this in verse 4 of what he says. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now, I know there might be some of you in the room that don't have children. Maybe you're not there yet, or maybe you just the Lord didn't bless in that way. And maybe He's blessed in different ways. But I want you to think just for a moment, for those of you who can relate that way. Wouldn't you agree with what John says here? You could have a child that would grow to be a billionaire. You'd have a child that would grow to be a very, very smart individual. Maybe you'd have a child that would be very talented in a certain area. Maybe you would raise a child that is a very kind and compassionate child. You could have a child that, you know, there's all kinds of ways in which children can be a blessing. But I think that any Christian, if he's remotely walking with the Lord, would agree that there wouldn't be anything greater. You can take away the money, you can take away all the talent, take away all of the different things in life that so many people go after and pursue, or what they could be. And to think about this idea of your child growing older and in their child years and their teen years and their young adult years into their middle-aged and later adult life, that they would walk in truth. That verse could never mean what it means to me today. Yesterday. Before I had children, I couldn't read that verse and understand really the significance of it. Now that I have my own children, I definitely understand that. Definitely. I would so much rather my children grow up to be sweet, godly, trust the Lord, live for Him, walk with Him, be involved in His service. I can't think of any greater joy. And I have seen in my own life when my children are being used of the Lord, lots could go wrong. And I would still be grateful. And I've also seen when they haven't done so well, that I don't know that there's anything more devastating. Of course, it's a growing process, and we understand there's hopefully going to be bright days ahead as we raise them and trust them to the Lord. But I would agree with John as he writes, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And oh, if that would be the case for all of my days as a daddy to 5, that is my greatest desire, that my children grow up and walk in truth. Take no offense. I want Faith Bible to grow and walk in truth. And I believe that Faith Bible Church is under the umbrella of verse 4 of 3 John. I am greatly overjoyed when I hear that you folks take a step of faith and want to be used, and you do right in certain circumstances, and you want God stronger in your life, and you make decisions to move forward for Him. I love that, and I tell you, it's so rewarding. Some have asked, Pastor, why in the world would you ever want to be a pastor? That sounds horrible. And yet there's some very rewarding things from it. When I see people making steps, it's tremendous fulfillment for me. When a message is preached and I hear that somebody was greatly helped and encouraged, or you see them take steps in their life and in their walk with the Lord, it is tremendous. But I can say this, even in my own family and ministry, there's no greater joy when my physical children walk in truth. That is probably the greatest fulfillment that I get in life, is when I see my children walking in truth. It's Father's Day. It's Father's Day today, and many of you still have fathers that are alive, mothers, parents alive. Many of you do not. See, Pastor, there's nothing that I can do today to honor my father. Well, I would say that we can honor our parents even if they are not alive. Are you going to give them great joy if you walk in truth? You know, it's interesting what our fathers that might be in heaven today, what they do see and what they know. And if they can see you here on this earth walking in truth, you know, I can't answer all those questions to exactly know what's on their minds or what they're going through right now. I don't know. And I think that we can probably honor them in our lives still, even if they're past. But I would also say this, even if your physical father is not here, I know one thing, there is no greater joy to the Father to know that His child, you, walks in truth. Guaranteed there's no greater joy for God. Guaranteed. He is so greater overjoyed than I am when you make a spiritual decision. He's overjoyed. God loves it. It's happy Father's Day to you, God, when we do right. But to our fathers, earthly fathers, there is no greater joy than even you as an adult or as a young person here this morning when they see you walking in truth. It's a delight. It's a delight. I contemplate. I don't know how many illustrations to give from my own personal family. I don't want to embarrass any. I'm not going to say this specifically, but you know what? Just yesterday I heard of something that one of my children did, and it brought tears to my wife's eyes. And probably in the given moment, it would have brought tears to my eyes too. It didn't at that point in time. It was a tiny little thing that you would be like, what's the big deal? But for me, it was encouraging. It was so encouraging. And you know what? I could have got a flat tire right then and in the middle of the rainstorm. And you know what? It would have been good. Because there's no greater joy than to know that your children walk in truth. Now, some of you here are parents. And you're looking at your children. You say, well, I wish that my child was walking in truth. Now, can I say this? I want to take the emphasis off of you looking at your children. Can we try to do that this morning? I don't want you to focus on somebody else and what they're not doing. I want you to focus on you as a child. I'm preaching to you this morning as a child. A child to your earthly father and a child to your heavenly father. Could you do that with me this morning? Could you put yourself in that circumstance and not think about your children and what they are or not doing? Okay, so you're the child this morning. Second John, you go back one book, and in Second John again, or also it's written in verse 4 as well, I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. Again, a bringing of joy. And John greatly rejoiced that he found of thy children, somebody else's children, walking in truth. Oh, there's so much joy. This must be the greatest experience a father could ever experience, his children walking in truth. And again, I say that for my own children. I want to give you several things from the Old Testament that we see in the book of Proverbs of a father that is overjoyed, excited. The first thing that I'm going to give you, and we're going to get to the scriptures in Proverbs. You can turn to Proverbs if you want to. I'm not going to give you chapter and verse yet. We're going to be looking in Proverbs, and we're going to see a couple reasons why a father can have no greater joy. And this is intended for you as a child to do this so that you could bring your father that joy. The first one is a wise son. A wise son. What is wisdom? I want you to think about for just a moment what true biblical wisdom is. In the Old Testament, wisdom often refers to the mental and physical skills of a craftsman. Now, this is going to catch you off guard a little bit. You say, well, that doesn't seem like wisdom. We'll tie it together here in a moment. The mental and physical skills of a craftsman, a sailor, a singer, a mourner, an administrator, a counselor, and many others. So the skill of it. Many would say that wisdom, or sometimes referred to in the scriptures as knowledge, is skill in math, in science, in health, in history. And they would say in the world that that person is very wise. You know, it does take skills to have a job. It does take skill. People are skilled in certain areas, and many of you are skilled in areas that I am not. And you know how to fix a certain thing. Maybe it's on a vehicle. Maybe it's something in your home. Maybe it's you have skills to do things, and many of you are employed in areas in which you have skills. It takes skill to have a job, skill to function in society. You got to learn. You got to have knowledge. Take skill. Skill to bring up a family. Wow, I never knew 15 plus years ago all that it would take to bring up a family and to know how to meet each one of my children's needs individually. And if you have raised any children, you know they're all different, aren't they? They're different, and how one responded a certain way, the other one does not, and you've got to handle them in a different way. And oh, it takes great skill for so many things. But wisdom is more than skill. Wisdom is more than pure knowledge or talent or ability. Wisdom, if I could combine everything in the scriptures, if I could give you something very simple to understand wisdom, wisdom is the best means or the best way using the best tools with the best resources for the best result. I like to insert in that definition godly, godliest for best. Using the godliest ways, with the godliest tools, with the godliest materials to produce the godliest result. A master builder that you would like to hire is one that's going to use the best materials for the best price. But he's not going to cut corners. Would you like a builder to cut corners in your home? He's not going to cut corners. He's going to use good materials. Are there bad materials out there? There are. Are there ways of doing things using good materials in not so good of a way? Absolutely. Maybe not using time. You know, you might get a builder that is going to build with the best materials in the best way, but he takes years and years to do it. Well, that doesn't fit under your category of the best necessarily. You see, wisdom is taking everything that's the very best, and by the way, the best way comes from what? Right here. Using God's way, using God's tools, using God's materials for the godliest result. That, my friend, think about it. It takes a while to get your mind wrapped around that, but that is wisdom. It's wisdom. In the scriptures, we see a person with wisdom, and that person's got to get knowledge. Can a person be wise without knowledge? I don't think so, because I'm not saying that they have to be the smartest person in the world. I'm just saying that to have wisdom, there must be an accumulation of knowledge. All right, let's get very practical. If I'm going to be a wise pastor, father, husband, neighbor, son, and all the things that I'm supposed to be, if I'm going to be wise, am I going to have some knowledge of the truth? What's the answer? Yes. If you're going to be a master builder, are you going to need some knowledge in building? Well, of course you do. You're going to have knowledge. In order to be a wise person spiritually, there needs to be a getting of knowledge. You know that you're going to have to go to the scriptures to get knowledge in order to be wise. Knowledge does not equal wisdom, but without knowledge you cannot have wisdom. Now God can give wisdom, but how does God can give wisdom in any way, but God, how does God choose to give wisdom? Through the counsel of His Word and other counselors that are using God's Word. Ultimately, wisdom comes from God's Word. So there's the gaining of knowledge. We need to get knowledge, although getting knowledge isn't the end of it. But we're going to have to go to knowledge. Now let me stop and make a quick application. I've not even got to the scriptures yet of in the Proverbs, which tell us that we need to be wise sons. And what will a wise son do? Well, maybe we should do that really quickly so you can see. Why don't you just take your Bibles. Go to Proverbs 15:20. Let me give you a few verses. Then let's come back to this definition of wisdom. I'm going to read a few verses for you. Proverbs 15 and verse 20. It's Father's Day. And a wise son maketh a glad father. Any father or mother out there would say, yes, I would think that I would have gladness to know that my children are wise. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. In the book of Proverbs, what comes after the colon, but is going to give us kind of insight on what wisdom is or what it is not. In this case, a foolish person on the other side is going to despise. So we could say that a wise person is going to take what God's Word says about respecting parents. Can I ask you a question? Do you respect your parents? I'm going to surprise you with something. Everybody look up here. Respect has nothing to do with your estimation of their value. It has everything to do with God's estimation of their value. See, my dad doesn't do right. So does that mean he doesn't deserve respect? What's the answer? And you need to answer this. Does our respect have to do with their respectability? What's the answer? No. Young people, or any person, any child, and remember, you're all children here this morning, has nothing to do with the way they are or were. has everything to do with the position that God has placed over you. That's what we honor. Do you honor? Do you despise your father? You see, one person is wise that respects, the other is the opposite that despises. And I'll tell you what, that makes sense. That does not bring a glad father. In fact, in the book of Proverbs, we see it brings shame. If any time my children have ever despised me or not respected me, I'll tell you what, that's hard. One of the hardest things that I face as a father is when my child lies to me. That's hard for me because lying carries what with it? A lack of respect. They are wanting to pull the wool over your eyes. I want you to be deceived. I don't want you to know the truth. That's hard for me as a father to be told a lie. You know, folks that are sitting out here, it's hard for your parents when you lie. And it's hard for your Abba Father when you lie. There's no great joy when you say something that's not true. No, it's a despising shame. How can I bring no greater joy to my daddy today? Tell the truth. Respect. Honor. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 1. Flip back to Proverbs chapter 10. Here we have a wise individual. The Proverbs of Solomon. Proverbs 10, 1. The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son maketh again what? A glad father. But a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. On one side we have the glad father that sees his child walking in wisdom. On the other side we have this person that's heavy weight to his mother. Can't trust him to do this. Trust that he or she is going to do what they're supposed to do or work hard or to fulfill their responsibility. Can't trust. You know, that's heavy. Heaviness to a mother. I could talk long in each one of these verses. Proverbs 23, verse 15. Proverbs 23, 15. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Here we see that this wise, if thine heart be wise, we could look at what the heart is, our emotions, our decisions, our will, our emotions. I think I said that one. All the different things that go into our hearts. Our hearts being wise. Again, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice. I'm just showing you that as children here, when we're wise, it's glory to our fathers. Then in Proverbs 27:11, my son, be wise and make my heart glad. I could ask you really quickly, look at Proverbs chapter 2. And I don't have time to go into this passage. But in Proverbs chapter 2, we right away in the first few verses, we see wisdom and you know, my son, if thou wilt receive, and as I read these verses, just this is wisdom. If thou wilt receive my words, remember I was talked about receiving, getting knowledge. If thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, and that's treasure, so that thou incline thine ear. That's going back to not only getting knowledge, but understanding knowledge. If thou incline thine ear into wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, that's going to use it. So we have getting knowledge, understanding knowledge, and using knowledge. If thou cry and apply thine heart to understanding, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And you understand that the fear of the Lord, this is a recipe for the fear of the Lord, but we also know that the fear of the Lord is being a wise person. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so we look at this recipe for wisdom. Again, really quickly, you look back at Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1, receiving words, okay? Do you have a listening ear for wisdom? And I believe that this is mostly talking about understanding from the Word. You know, you're here today and you say, I don't have an earthly father on this earth anymore. But I'll tell you, it brings honor to a father when you listen to God's Word. It brings honor to a father. And on the way home, when we go home from church, we make it a practice. That I make it a practice to ask my children what they learned from the church services. And I'll tell you, it's discouraging when my children don't, you know, they weren't listening and they don't know. And they're doing really well with that. The younger ones were working on that more, but what did you learn today from the church service? And the youngest ones, maybe a word or a person is what we're looking for. As they get a little older, we're looking for more of an idea of what Daddy was preaching on. And as they even get older, what did you learn this morning from the message? What is God working in your heart about? And you know, I'll tell you what, when even the youngest ones can tell me one little thing, I'll tell you what, there's no greater joy in that. I love that when my child is hearing that truth. I'll tell you something that's a discouragement to my heart is when they don't know. Now that's going to happen, and there's times that I haven't known either. But I'll tell you what, gaining wisdom, getting that knowledge. But then second of all, we see this in this, you know, as we hide His commandments in our hearts, it's important to us, and we're inclining our ear. We want to just take more than hear it, we want to understand it for ourselves. And my older children are at that level. We're trying, is there understanding? What do you understand and how God is dealing with that in your heart? And children, I tell you out here today, and all of your children, I tell you what, it brings a father joy when you as a child are learning and understanding. And can I say this? More than your earthly father, your heavenly father delights when you come to church and get wisdom, but then you try to understand it. What does this mean to me? Do you leave the church service today? What does this mean to me and how I need to change some things in my life? How does this hit me? Not just can I tell my spouse what the preacher preached about, but what does it mean for you now? And thirdly, as he goes on, he applying that heart to understanding, now what does this not only mean for me, but doing it? How is this going to change my life? In Discovery Bible Studies, that's our main theme, is discover and then what? Obey. And then lastly, go and share it with somebody else. And the idea here in verses 4 and 5, verses 3 and 4, crying for knowledge and lifting up her voice up for understanding and seeking as silver and search as hid treasures. And then we get that fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. I ask you a question this morning as we move on. Are you a wise son? Again, getting knowledge. That's getting into the Word, listening to the Word. Going further and understanding it, where it applies to you in your life. Going out and doing it, treasuring it, valuing it so that it's so important in your life. That makes a glad father. May we make our fathers proud today by being wise children. Look at Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 24. We move on to the next thing. Three simple points that I give you this morning. Proverbs 23:24. Very closely related to the wise son is the righteous son. And that's the second point, a righteous son. The father of the righteous shall, what? Greatly rejoice. He that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Okay, we looked at the definition of wisdom. What's the definition of righteousness? I've tried to define righteousness in many different ways, and I have found, a long time ago I found this, that the best way to define righteousness is with one person. That's God. Honestly, righteous or righteousness is described as God. Everything that God is what we go after, and He defines what right is. Does that make sense? God defines what's right. When I don't know what's right, well, what is God? And so we go to the person and character and name of God to understand what is right. And righteousness is following what God is. We follow His characteristics. We follow His attributes. We follow His name. And we try to emulate Him in who He is. And of course, He's given us a picture through the Son, Jesus Christ, of how that ought to be. So honestly, I can follow Jesus, and when I follow Jesus, I'm following the Father. Okay? And so we emulate Christ. We follow in Christ's steps. That's why we study who Christ is. That's why we study who Christ, where He went, and what all the things that He did. This all defines righteousness. So righteous is godliness, and it's being like God. It defines God in who He is. Righteous. You know, when my children are righteous and godly, that brings me glory. Last week I preached the message, or the week before I preached the message on 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. What's that another name for? Righteousness. Whatever you do, do right. And whatever you do, emulate God. Emulate Jesus Christ. Everything that He would do, you do. You think the same thoughts that He thinks. You act the same actions that He acts. You respond the same way He responds. You do what Christ does, and you will be right. And what that does is that brings God honor and glory. That brings Daddy honor and glory. When my children think right, I love it. When my children do right actions, I love it. When my children respond correctly to circumstances that are difficult, I love it. And it brings me glory, because that's what happens with a son and a daddy. It brings daddy's glory when the children are wise and the children are righteous. And that's what Proverbs tells us in chapter 23 and verse 24. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. When your children do right things, he gets the glory. You know, some of you are here this morning and say, you know, my daddy is gone. My daddy's not here. How can I honor him? I will tell you this. Wherever your daddy is at this point in life or in eternal life or eternal death even, I would say this, that there's glory when you choose right. When you choose right, that brings them glory. Even if they were an unrighteous individual, I believe that they get glory from it. And it certainly brings God glory. Godly thoughts. I want to tell you something. God, your heavenly Father, and your earthly Father gets glory when you have right thoughts. I don't know when my sons have wrong thoughts, but I tell you what, when they have right thoughts, I get glory. I might not know it, but I get glory from it. I get glory when they're thinking rightly. And right thoughts are going to result in right actions. And your heavenly Father gets honor and glory when you think right about things, when you think godly, when you have godly actions. It's a way to honor. I'll tell you what, today, you say, well, my dad's in a nursing home. You say, my dad's like mine, a couple thousand miles away. You say, my dad's not even in his right mind right now. You say, my dad is not here. I'll tell you what, today you choose to have right thoughts, right actions, right lifestyle, right entertainment, right everything. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, can I say this reverently? Daddy gets glory. That's the truth. An earthly daddy and a heavenly daddy. Abba Father, he gets glory. Go to Proverbs 29 and verse 3, and I'll wrap this up. If my children are wise, praise the Lord. If my children are righteous, I could have a lot go wrong in my life and I would be honored. Proverbs 29 and verse 3 introduces us to the third, and they're so very closely related. Whoso, what's the second word of the verse? Loveth wisdom. You say, preacher, this should have been used for the first one. Whoso loveth wisdom. Okay, this is a wise child. But understand, this child is not just acting wise. I don't think you can really divorce the two or separate the two. But he loves wisdom. He loves wisdom. It's a desire of his heart. He craves wisdom. He wants it. Whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father. On the opposite side, but he that keepeth company, obviously this person loves the harlots. And I think that the point of it is the fleshly lusts of life. Do I love to please myself, or do I love to please my daddy? And that's the last point. The child that loves to please daddy brings glory to his daddy. I can tell you times when my child did something because they wanted to show they loved me. Not because they wanted to do it. Not because they were asked to do it, but because they wanted to bring me glory. I wouldn't trade anything for it. It's glory to me. When you see that they love to do it, they want to. Here we have, thirdly, the prioritized son. You know, we look at Proverbs 2 and he received the words, you know, so he accepts it as valid for him, and then he hides the commandments, he stores it up, and he inclines his ear to wisdom, and so he has attention on it. And I could go through again Proverbs chapter 2 and he applies his heart, he's eager to observe that understanding, and he goes on and on. He cries after knowledge and he lifts up his voice for understanding. He seeks for her as silver. The idea of Proverbs chapter 2, especially when you get into the seeking and the desiring and the want to, we come back to that love. They love wisdom. They love, and again, it sounds very similar to the first two points, but he included the word love there. There's a strong desire to please. It has nothing to do with how the father or the daddy lived. There's a desire to make him happy. A desire to please. And that response from the Father is what? Greatly rejoice, my heart. It means the world to me when my child wants to do something for me on his own, her own. And it does the same to your father, and it does the same to your heavenly father. I didn't even ask them to do it. And they want to do that. I don't really care about that. Every one of my little children has done this, and so I don't think that I'll embarrass any of them. Go outside in the summertime and pick a weed and take it to mommy. For some of my little ones, it's not weeds, it's rocks. Here's a rock, Daddy. sometimes I can end up with a pocket full of rocks. You know what I tell you what? It doesn't matter what the rock or the weed, the value of that is. But wrapped up in the little confines of that rock and that weed is something that brings a daddy no greater joy. When they want to do something to please you. Now we know that rocks and weeds aren't the thing that our fathers are necessarily looking for. I think that the first two points make a precedent that it's wisdom and righteousness. Daddy, I want to please you. Father, I want to please you with my wisdom. And I want to please you with my righteousness. I love to do that. Let me ask you a question as we close this morning. Do you love to please your Father? Horizontally and vertically. Do you love to please him? Or are you caught up like the prodigal son that would love to please himself? It doesn't matter who you are here today. Every one of you has or had a daddy. Every one of you, if you're saved here this morning, as a heavenly Father. Are you wise? Are you gaining that knowledge? Are you applying that knowledge? Are you living that knowledge? Righteousness, whether therefore I eat or drink or whatsoever I do, I want to do it. And God, I love to do it because I love you. What's the result of Father's Day and 365 days that are Father's Day? What's the result of a child that endeavors to be wise and righteous and have right priorities? What's the result of that? What does Proverbs tell us? It brings me great joy. Brings honor. The best way today that you can honor your Father and your Heavenly Father is to walk in truth. Walk in truth. Father, thank you that we have the opportunity in life to walk in truth. John said that there's no greater joy than to find that my children walk in truth. I understand what he's saying, and there's no greater joy in my life to know that my children walk in truth than every other father out there, whether they understand it or not. Gets honor and glory when their children walk in truth. Certainly, Father, as a heavenly Father, you have no greater joy as you see us walk in truth. Wisdom, righteousness, priority. Lord, would you please help us in this Father's Day to live up to the standards as a child, and to bring our Father's honor and glory as we do right. Lord, help me to do right. Help these folks to do right. Live our lives for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.